to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky have a bit of an oddity as they drink a Pinot Noir from Germany. More specifically, the Herbert Mesmer Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, sir.
I'm also joined by a skeptical Triple B.
Extremely skeptical.
Yes. Yes. She doesn't have the same wine glass and she's upset about it. At least she doesn't think she does. Or does she?
It is
she?
Different looking,
it's
isn't
not
it?
It's the same glass.
Here, we can switch.
I feel like...
I'm not going to switch. I have a different glass in here.
You probably put poison in yours.
No. But yes, I put poison in yours. That's right. Yes. Yes.
Maybe that was all part of the plan.
Yes. It's
have my glass.
The old switcheroo. How paranoid are you,
now,
Becky?
Now I feel like our glasses are the same.
They are the same bloody glass.
But Rob's is different.
These are Riedel, the Vivant or Viviant or whatever the hell those things are. The
then
Target.
Switch. Switch me.
I'm not switching you. I don't know where you've been. So.
I told you.
On the show tonight, you dick. It's the same glass.
It's the same glass.
It's the same glass. I just love that. On the show tonight,
the
folks.
The glass conspiracy.
I know. It is the glass conspiracy, the great glass conspiracy. On the show tonight.
Gianon.
Yeah. Basically. We are entering the warmer weather. We are entering into getting out on the deck, you know, having fun in the sun. Scrap all that because we have, no. On tonight's show, we have what I would consider, in my opinion, a banquet wine. Do you remember the Funkenhausen, the Funkenhausen Cabernet? A banquet wine, yes.
What?
Yes, it's not a compliment.
So it's like...
It's not.
Banquet, like as in banquet TV dinners?
No, like MCL cafeteria.
Oh.
You know, you put it in a big old freaking clay pot and you're pouring it. You're not even drinking it out of whatever glasses Becky has over there that's different than mine. you're drinking it out of glass cups. But do you remember the Funkenhausen Cabernet, the Argentinian Cabernet we had a long time ago? It was a liter bottle. Remember that?
Okay.
Did I have it?
Yeah, you did. And we liked it.
I kind of remember the liter bottle. We liked it.
Yeah, it was fine. It was one of those things, if you have a bunch of people over, if you have a couple bottles of that, and they drink that, I run off, drink what I want. No. It's Jarlsberg.
Oh.
Now it's a cheese conspiracy. Or is it Jarlsberg? Who could it? What could it be? That's actually Don's. That's soap. I just cut it just right. It's tasty. Keeps you nice and clean.
Okay. So what? When did we have this?
What, Jarlsberg?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A while ago.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We had some, and then where? What movie is this line from? Don't you have to eat that? It has at least $8 worth of Jarlsberg in it. You know what that's from? Weirdest word to say.
It's devil's wear. The devil wears Prada.
Yeah, I googled it.
Mm-hmm.
It was stuck in my head. I'm like, what movie is this cheese in?
Jarlsberg.
Yeah.
I forgot about The Devil Wears Prada.
So did I.
Wasn't somebody nominated for an Oscar in that?
I don't know. It was Meryl Streep because she's Meryl Streep.
Emily Blunt.
I don't know.
She's so good in it.
Yeah, but she's in like 15 seconds of it.
No, she's so good.
Probably.
Watch that movie like every couple of years, and it's so good.
I don't. I watch.
Yes, you do.
I do not. I watched Ghostbusters 2 with the boys the other night. Yeah. It's not as, they didn't like it as much as Ghostbusters 1. Who would have figured that? But the best line in that movie is Pete Venkman, Bill Murray's character, has that psychic TV show. And so some security guard goes, You know, Dr. Venkman, you are my favorite TV show. You're one of my two favorite TV shows. And so Murray goes, well, what's the other TV show? He goes, Bassmasters. He goes, oh, yeah, I know Bassmasters. Yes,
Meryl Streep was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading
it's
Role.
Because it's Meryl Streep and they are bullshit. But anyway.
She's good in it.
On tonight's show. She acts arrogant. Go figure. Big acting. Anyway, on tonight's show, we have a liter bottle, a big bottle, of German wine. And you say, oh, Riesling. No.
No.
Dornfelder.
No.
No. No. What's wrong with you people? No. God, no. A liter bottle of Dornfelder? No. That's what Becky's drinking. On the No. It's a German Pinot Noir. You already know.
No, really, what is it?
It's a Pinot Noir. And it's from Herbert Messmer.
Herbert
Spat Burgunder.
Do you want me to read it?
Pinot Noir. No, I just read it.
Spat Burgunder.
It just sounds like
it's really like the old Muppet guys in the theater box.
Well, Becky, you technically are the most Aryan of the group, so maybe you do want to read that for us.
Aryan.
Aryan. Germanic.
Why are you calling her Harry?
Well, that's true. Read it for me.
You did read it.
Thank you. I did read it. It's from, what's it, File? Is that how you pronounce it? P-F-A.
False.
No, it's Faust. Faust. What, the
false.
P-F-A-L-T-Z?
Yes, false.
False.
Tag on that Apple Translate. I thought it was false, and it convinced me otherwise. I was
it sounded like my last name?
Yeah, I'm thinking, that's not how it's pronounced. False. But anyway. False.
What?
Yes.
False.
Like,
false.
It's like, false. It's not like his last name.
That's how it was pronounced. It's stupid. Anyway.
What?
What? What? It's a question.
Of course, you have to enter the word properly.
I did. But anyway, false is the second biggest wine area in Germany.
Okay. And
it's very, very, it's slightly.
I think if it's the second biggest, you should be able to pronounce it.
No, because I don't really drink that much German wine. I mean, you know, I don't speak German, but I do kiss that way, yes.
Gross.
Which is to say rarely. False.
Why.
Yeah. False is an interesting area because it's slightly Mediterranean. Look at a map. It's not that far from Burgundy. I mean, it's not Burgundy, mind you. I'm not saying it's Burgundy, but it's not like it's that far. It's just a little bit east, you know? So, similar area in Europe. It has a nice growing climate. It's a very beautiful spot. It's very popular for tourists. But since the 80s, it's really gotten serious with wine. And there are some people that respect that type of wine and these wines from Pfalz. Not anybody that's sitting at this table, but other people. There are other people. They wear tweed, and they're not American. But, you know, this is, though, Scott, this is the Quatzwein. So the quality wine level. So there are different levels, you know, and the lowest level is Quatzwein. So that's
so
what this
is.
Like
Reserva.
No. This is table wine of a certain sense. It's better than table wine, but it's table.
Well,
it's table.
Is it really?
It's a liter bottle, and it was $17.99.
And it is also green.
It's a green bottle. Germans like their green bottles. Everybody else realized that's not the way to go, but
it is very. I mean, it looks like a San Pellegrino.
It does. We could go get San. Well, you know what? We can compare it to San Pellegrino. Which would we rather drink? I don't know. Maybe the San Pellegrino. It does the wine.
You've done nothing to make me think it would be San Pellegrino.
No, I'm not trying to do that. But just so you know, this winery Messmer was founded in 1960 by Herbert Messmer, but his son Gregor took over in 1984. So basically, you know, so Gregor is the dude that's in charge right now. And there's, if you go on the SirNick.com.
I feel like you aren't using what? Any words.
I know. Well, they're
like
that's SirNick.
More so than normal.
SirNick is that's the importer. SirNick.
I keep thinking, have I spaced out? But I think you're just still saying words that aren't words.
Well, both things could happen at the same time. So
Gregor's always the bad guy in the movie.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say that. Yeah, there's a picture of him on the website, and he's sniffing a wine, not this one. And he's wearing like a zip up, you know.
Okay,
you know,
like
a
1990s
nice
Adidas
Let's
zip
see
up.
His face.
No, what? He just looks German.
So. Oh, he does.
An Adidas tracksuit with the black with the white stripes.
No.
You had a zip up like that.
Yeah, it's more like Lands End, the knit kind, the shrink.
yours like that was Polo.
Polo, yes.
I wonder what Gregor's voice would sound like.
I can hear
I'm Gregor. I make the Pinot Noir.
No, not that gravelly.
No.
Hi, this is Gregor.
No, I don't know what his name
is. It doesn't sound like my voice, that's for sure. Scott, did you get my voicemail from earlier?
My name is Gregor.
Yes, that's it. Perfect.
My name is Gregor.
Are you Russian?
No, he's...
Do I sound Russian?
Slightly.
No.
No, it was
it's German.
Oh, East Germany.
It's German.
You're East German.
I want to be German.
Okay, good be. Yeah, you were on the other side of the wall. Nevertheless, folks, a 1 liter bottle of Pinot Noir from Germany. What could go wrong with that?
Well, let me count the ways.
And we're going to count those ways as soon as we get back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the Herbert Messmer Pinot Noir. And we'll just leave it at that. Who cares? They have some other Pinot Noirs. They have some a little more expensive stuff. You can go on to the website. Just Google it. I'm sure you're really excited and you'll search high and low for these Pinot Noirs. I'm sure you will do that. I'm just assuming that. That's why we do this as a public service.
Well, the Pinophile's son probably will.
Yes, for him and his melted face. Well, it's getting hot. There might not be anything left of it. He's just a puddle.
That's why I might search out the German Pinot wines.
My son, melt. My son melted and he's just a puddle on the floor. And I just said, where's my son? There he is on the floor.
I wanted to drink him.
No. There are no reviews of this wine.
Imagine that.
I'll review it later. I'll just jump in. This is Wilford.
I'm so nervous.
Why? You did not hear the...
This is a low-level German Pinot?
Oh, yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, there aren't any... I mean, low... First of all, German Pinot. Meh. Who knows? It's not that...
I was told it's just east of Burgundy, so...
If I was guessing...
The food's worse there, but still.
If I was guessing and being very stereotypical, I would imagine that it is going to be... Fine.
Yes.
Not imaginative.
No.
How do you say the word perfunctory? Is that how you say
perfunctory?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's how I imagine this tasting.
Yep.
Tasting perfunctory?
Yeah.
Totally adequate. Not a bit out. Nothing. No, like, oh, I think that was violet. None of that.
No.
If I had to guess.
Yes. A quaffer. Definitely a quaffer, which would be my banquet wine. So, in the glass, it does look like Pinot.
It does. It smells like Pinot.
More so in my glass because it's better than Becky's.
But this isn't a normal Pinot glass.
It's a normal Pinot glass.
Mine doesn't say Riedel.
It does too say
Riedel.
Mine says Riedel.
Mine does
so
too.
It does say Riedel.
Episodically, we refer to Wine Folly. I really love her stuff. And as usual, she has a wonderful page about Germany. And you get to the section that says... Wines to explore. Guess what varietals she leaves out?
No.
Is it Pinot?
Pinot Noir she leaves out.
Well, does she? Don't explore it.
It's mentioned.
Yeah, that they make it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll just love it. I'll buy a case. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Will we buy a case of this? Will we buy a case of San Pellegrino? Let's taste it.
No, San Pellegrino is cheaper, but here we go. On the nose. It has a Pinot nose.
It totally does. I think it has a European Pinot nose.
Yes, it does. Burgundian. Maybe slightly sweeter in a like a little cherry cordial-esque note.
Is this oaked?
No.
It's mushroom.
Yeah.
And yep. like mossy?
A little mossy, yeah.
Are you sure this isn't oaked?
No, I just made that up completely. I'm just guessing. I don't know what they do. Let me find their website. So it's. I don't believe it. It would be, but you never can tell with these Germans.
If nothing else, it's got a good Pinot nose.
Yeah, oh, it yeah. really does.
That's, no, it does.
That's the epitome of Pinot Funk.
You would know it.
Yeah.
Right mm-hmm. away.
Oh, yeah.
I like, for our listeners, Becky, I think, was playing a violin with her fingers while she was saying you would know it right yeah. away. It was like.
Yep, right away. Bingo, bingo. Oh, my God, I almost poured this on myself.
Don't do that.
I don't know how to hold this glass because it's not a real Pinot glass. Yeah, it has a Pinot nose. Mm-hmm. Let's taste it.
Let's taste it. It's short. It's somewhat simple.
Hmm.
Two notes. And I think it is on a little bit of oak because the oak finish, it comes off on the finish.
Would you say it's perfunctory?
No.
I'm not sure it even rises to that level.
He barely uses any. He barely could speak English tonight.
I can relate after
Here we
the
go.
Time I've had.
Perfunctory means carried out with a minimum of effort or reflection. I feel like that's, there's not a lot going on in the, there's not a lot going on in it. Yeah. The nose is a lot better than the palate. What the
it
way
doesn't
it tastes
taste
on your
bad, though. It's dry.
Right. No,
I mean, so, you know, there's that. And yes, it does have, it's on a little wood. Big wooden barrel. That's what it's on. I just read this. Big wooden barrel. Literally. That's what it says. So it's wooden. We know that. And it's big. Probably a big fooder.
Maybe it's on, like, maple.
You know what else?
No, I don't.
There's a tad bit of dusty tannins there.
Really?
I think. They're a little naked on the finish. When you get through that oaking, and then just pop in there at the end.
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly.
The only thing I don't love is there's a real strong core of like a slightly intense sweet berry that's
something.
Up front. And I don't want that as much. It's not bad. It goes away pretty quickly. And it's not sweet, as I'm saying. It's just an intense berry. It's a little bit out of place for this wine. That lessened. Will be nice because it actually has a decent mouthfeel. It's soft.
Yeah.
I mean,
for me,
it's Pinot-ish.
The oaking.
It's
not great. Yeah. That when you said the core, it has that starts in the mid palate, and it's mm-hmm. it's a little bit much for me. The I would pick the berry over the oaking. The oaking is worse than the berry, but I do think that's a good mention.
I think that
it's a little bit beyond just saying a sweet berry. It's like, I don't know what would be, but
like
it is more than that.
It's almost like it's a surprise that there's so much in the glass flavor-wise, because you would really expect it to be fairly lean and simple,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it's fairly plush. It's almost like a, like a less expensive Oregon Pinot.
It's not the lightest Pinot Noir.
No, it's
you've
not.
Had.
It's weighty.
It's
medium body.
There's something spicy on the finish too. Is that the oaking or something else?
The oak. Yeah.
It has
yeah.
a pepperiness on the end.
Mm-hmm. But it's a fairly, I mean, straightforward somewhat, but not terrible. I mean, it's not bad at all. We've had worse. Infinitely worse.
Yep.
10,000 times worse. This is so much better than Samuel Robert Winery. I don't even want to talk about it.
This reminds me of just like someone getting a job evaluation when they're like, ah, like you could have done some things better. You didn't like really mess anything up.
You come to work on time.
You're here every day.
Yeah.
And like sometimes like the it is dry. So that's like you did like you didn't take you scheduled all your PTO. You know, but then, like, you didn't necessarily do anything else either. That's kind of how I feel about this wine.
It's kind of grown on me a little bit.
Well, there's nothing to dislike. It's completely...
It's not true. The Oak King's not good.
There's nothing for us to dislike. You just... You...
He's mad at me, Scott, about power washing.
I'm not mad at you about power washing. Why am I mad at you about power washing?
Because you didn't power wash part of
the day. Oh, because you accused me of lying and you're wrong. And I went back over the places that you did. You call that power washing? Mm-hmm. My ass. I like how you power wash, but you didn't take anything off the deck.
You keep it up, she will power wash your ass.
But I don't want to criticize you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to criticize what? That.
How did you?
You don't. Do you?
Robert, how did you get these wounds in your anus? What? Your wife? What?
What?
You said something.
I'm
going
to have to report this to the sheriff. That's spousal abuse. No, please don't. She'll do it again to me.
So comedy gold. Well. She put a power washer up his ass and turned it on.
I'm going to vomit.
Be like an enema.
We did spend yesterday
yes.
power washing.
Power washing.
In preparation of staining the deck, getting the deck ready for summer nights.
Summer nights.
And I don't know where.
And a lot of mesmer.
Right. I don't know where everyone else is listening from, but in Ohio, we have had a very cold, rainy, snowy spring. Uh-huh. It has been gray for how many months? 6, 7, 8.
How many years?
And
that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And then this weekend we had so much sunshine. It was warm. I mean, it's going to rain tomorrow. But it was like the end is in sight. Didn't it feel like that? Mm.
You know, this company, Mesmer, they never got the memo that wait a minute, I'm looking at the wrong name website. Oh, here we are. Wine Shop. I mean, they make everything, and they even make Cabernet. You
Mesmer
know,
does.
That's unusual.
Yeah, they do. I'll look at this in German.
I've heard of
in
German Cab.
They have they have a section called Red and Wild, and they have a picture of an elk, but it's doused in blood. I think that they think it's just a red elk, but that elk is doused in blood, isn't it?
It says rot.
Well, that's in German. I know what it means. It's what? Red and wild. But that elk, isn't that elk doused in blood?
I don't know if it's doused in blood or it's been skinned alive.
Well, it's got hair. It's just doused in blood. It's been scalped.
That's a freaky-ass picture.
I know. That right there.
I don't know how you would...
They've made themselves... Wait a minute. That's Spanish. they have a... Cavillo Tempranillo Robel Trocken. Trocken is, but it's from La Mancha, so that would be Spanish. But that's really tasty.
Well, maybe they do a Spanish varietal.
German?
In Germany.
Here's Merlot. They have Merlot. Where's the Merlot from? The Merlot's from, well, it's from...
Faults.
Yeah, it's from Faults. I don't want that.
So you misspoke on the Wine Folly webpage. She describes Pinot Noir is Spätburgunder,
yes. That's what this is. They have a Cabernet. 15 vintage on that. I'm not surprised. English, yes. Oh, clasp. Cork. These are cork. This was a screw top. Because, well, why not? So. Very interesting wine, isn't it, Scott? It's massively. You're like, you take a taste, you're like, my God, I've been transported to Hamburg.
I don't mind it.
No, it tastes like the airport at Hamburg, Germany.
Growing on me, you know, I don't think it's complex, but I don't think it's as simple as... It deserves a little more credit for what it is. There's an earthy tone there in the mid palate that's spot on for a Pinot.
Well, I think for me, I'm not going to speak for Becky because, you know.
You do enough of that.
Yeah. But the expectation I had was of a leaner wine, one that was less... adventuresome, you know, that had lower I had lower expectations.
I had the lowest of expectations.
But this wine tries to be more than what I anticipated.
Yeah.
Not saying that it completely, you know.
It is more.
It is. I mean, it's not great, but at the same time, it is a little more elevated wine than what I anticipated in a 1 liter bottle from Germany.
That is essentially table wine quality.
Yeah.
Right?
But it tastes like
That's
Pinot.
True.
It tastes like Pinot. And it's pleasing to drink. It's easy to drink. Steve Gibson would like it.
I don't know that he would.
I think he would. He likes it. Yeah.
I mean,
food pairing, though, the problem with this, though, you can't really go with earthy foods because of the berry fruit. And you can't really go with, you know, your normal fare with the berry fruit because it does have some earthy overtones. So
it's a Pinot that has that sweet fruit, and that's what Spätburgunder is. From the Wine Folly page, wines exude sweet fruit flavors that are complemented with subtle earth and leafy tones.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're getting the leafy tones in this, but
yeah, subtle
earth. Dried blueberry, raspberry, cinnamon, dried twigs, brown sugar.
What?
I don't know about the brown
Say
sugar
those
and
words
cinnamon.
Again?
Dried blueberry, raspberry. Cinnamon, dried twigs, brown sugar.
Dried twigs.
I think that's the earthy component. I don't know that I'd call it dried twigs, but there's an earthy component. I don't get that here. This is just general for the Pinot.
St. Laurent, you're going to get something like that.
From Germany.
Yeah. St. Laurent will definitely. There aren't any St. Laurents, I don't think, available on wine.com. But I'd like us to do one eventually because they're interesting. I've never tasted one, but I understand that they're interesting.
Okay.
Wow.
Interesting does not equal good, but you know, understand. Because I never had a Dornfelder until we tried one.
That was awful.
Yeah.
Scary awful. Like, that was one of the worst things we've done.
That's fine.
Can you hand me that?
What do you mean?
A coaster.
A coaster. Oh, sure. That was not a coaster.
What was it?
It's not important what it is. You don't need to worry about what it is. She doesn't need to know what that is. Scott knows what it is. He has it too. So, it's not important. We're going to take a break because we've got to come back. And we have one of the most epically impressive potpourris ever in the history of the Wine Vault in a week from now. But still, we have one
tonight
coming up. Yes. So we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to go around the room.
Okay.
And what I want you to do, two things.
Sing Old Methodist hymns?
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Fly away.
Oh, no. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross. No, no religion on tonight's show except for, no, that's not important. No. I want you each to plan your best version of a wine tasting dinner. Now, what I want you to do is provide specifics.
I wish that when you did this, you would give me more time to prepare. You know why?
Yeah, why? True geniuses can think on the spot. So we'll see if who you are tonight.
We can do this together. We can do this as a together project.
But you also have to do a menu.
Of course.
Bam.
I'm going to go upstairs.
No, you're not. Mm-hmm. No. I'll follow you.
So. You know, what we should start with, I think, is a fruit entree.
A fruit entree? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But why don't you start with the wines?
Well, then, see, there's two ways to go about this. Pick a wine, then pair food with it, or start with food.
Or is it a question for yourself?
Now, can I point this out? This was your idea.
I didn't say it was a bad idea. I just said, can you give me a heads up sometime?
Just did. Now.
So let's start with fruit.
True.
I think we should start with which restaurant.
No, we're making this. This is
yeah. It's your own restaurant. You don't have to do that.
Oh well, I was thinking like.
And then let's do one for a restaurant. Let's do two.
Well, I was like, if we were going to pick like Barcelona versus Refectory versus like Jay Gilbert's, that's what I was thinking. Like okay. How we would team it.
Don't pick Jay Gilbert's for wine dinner.
Yeah.
Here's a ribeye cutlet.
Yeah, sure it was. Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, a thinly sliced melon.
Yeah.
Nice, thinly sliced. We're not going to be too fancy. We're going to go Virginia ham, but over the melon.
Okay.
Then strawberries. Let's just do simple strawberries and blueberries with a little bit of whipped cream.
Oh.
Let's start that with a white wine.
Okay.
What white wine? Producer too.
Would you do a Riesling?
Really dry. Or like a Grüner Veltliner.
Oh.
What Grüner Veltliner producer would you pick?
Whatever I could get my hands on. It's not easy to get your hands on Grüner Veltliner.
How about Domaine Wachau?
That's what we've had before. It's wonderful. It's
so you do a Domaine Wachau.
We usually can get it.
By the way, that would be. The Domaine Wachau is fantastic.
It really is.
Or Nigel. Nigel's very good.
Okay.
Austrian is what you're saying. Austrian.
Yep.
Austrian Grüner Veltliner.
It's a very nice wine.
So then where would you go from that? I was debating, when you were discussing that entree, I was trying to decide in my mind if a little sprig of mint on top would
be. Oh, yes. On either the melon and ham, or you could just have sprigs of mint on all the fruit.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Another way to treat fruit when you're doing an entree with an herb is just a drizzle of lemon juice and sea salt.
Yeah.
And then that mint just, boom, just bangs it right out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
It would be really lovely.
So then I'm going to transition to a lighter red.
Okay.
You know, my understanding is that German Pinots are, although basic, not bad. Is that good?
Would you go with like this that? Mesmer?
Why not?
Winefowl didn't understand that, but your understanding.
Okay. You know,
this is also an education.
It's true.
So what would you serve food-wise with this?
And transitioning from fruit to more hearty fare. So, and we did say that it might be a challenge to pair this with food.
What do you think about possibly like a mushroom ravioli?
I like how you're thinking. And I'm going to add mini Swedish meatballs with that mushroom ravioli. Like a mushroom-based gravy for a little tiny
like a
Swedish meatball
sauce.
Yes.
Oh,
to
okay.
Pair with the mushroom ravioli.
Swedish meatballs?
Like, you know what Swedish meatballs are.
I know what you're talking about.
Just meatballs cooked in gravy,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, typically they may have sour cream in the gravy. In traditional Swedish meatballs.
What about, just like the mushroom ravioli, like she said, with just a brown butter sauce?
That's okay. All right. I was just talking out loud.
Yeah, you were. Most generally, you do talk out loud. Skip the IKEA shit.
I agree.
I like Becky's thing.
Yeah, and just a simple brown butter sauce. Oh, I like that. That's nice. And that would go well with this.
Oh, yeah. The big ravioli. So it's just like, it's like the appetizer ravioli. Oh, that's nice. It's a nice choice. Good job. You're good at this. You are good at this. That was good.
Well, so, I mean,
you thought, you doing
we're
good
teaming up. We're teaming up.
Okay, next.
We could go to a mini entree and do some spin on my Swedish meatballs with another red wine.
Staying in that area. That's very interesting. Pony is on the.
And I like the, I like the mushroom gravy. It was like a mushroom onion gravy with a lamb meatball instead of a Swedish meatball, but done Swedish meatball style. I know you don't care for lamb, but
spitballing. It would also be a nice tie from the mint and the fruit to the lamb.
Cross back to the lamb. I like it.
Well, what wine?
We could stick with Pinot and go with like an Oregon, nice Oregon Pinot.
But why don't you stay Euro? Like Becky was saying, you're still there. Why don't you do eclectic? Stay eclectic, I say.
Becky doesn't, I'm making her eat lamb meatballs and she doesn't like that.
Well, I know. I was thinking, should we just do a totally horrific.
I would have gone like a Merlot.
That's what I was going to say.
Like a French-based Merlot.
Or and like a Merlot-based Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Heading that way. I'm on board with that. Just make it be an all-around terrible
course
for me.
No. A Cab Franc from Loire Valley.
Okay. Yeah, you get to play.
Thank you.
Yeah, well,
Cab Franc would be nice of that.
Okay.
And then what would you do?
This is your nightmare.
But
that one we had, El Sup.
You would have loved that 100% Cab Franc.
That was one of the best things we've ever drank.
I was sure you would like it. He said, if you say it to Becky, she'll kill you. But I was certain that you'd enjoy it.
But you like the El Enemigo Cab Franc. But then again, El Enemigo knows what they're doing.
Okay. So what are we going to have next? We've had fruit.
It's an eclectic menu. The ravioli with this. Meatballs.
And then what are we going to have?
By the way, you're starting off with the main wokow, then you're going down to this, and then you're going back up. It's kind of like, you know. But then again, that's fine. I get it. People would find, though, throwing this in the mix, a German Pinot. My gosh, you're so sophisticated. You know a lot.
It actually would be a nice transition from white to red.
This is a fine wine, though. It's fine. It works.
It's perfunctory.
I think it's
perfunctory. It's a little bit more than perfunctory.
I
like it. I'm drinking it.
I wasn't certain at first it was even perfunctory, and now I'm beyond perfunctory.
A Tuesday night wine? This is a good Tuesday night wine. It has a little sulfite, so I can feel that.
Here's the interesting thing about it. It's a German Pinot. That in itself is interesting.
And it tastes like Pinot.
And the nose is really...
It's getting better as it opens up, too. It lightens up a little bit, more minerality in the finish.
It's growing on me.
It's a solid wine.
So, do we want to pick our next wine, or do we want to pick our next entree?
Let's do entree.
And I'm feeling Spain coming on.
Okay. Are you thinking some kind of Tempranillo?
Yep.
Okay.
Big.
It's a good thing you fed him that because he didn't
know. No, that's exactly where I was at.
Well, then what? I was
from where?
I was thinking of on entrees. I couldn't get past an entree.
Were you thinking Rioja? Were you thinking from Torres? Were you thinking from Condado de Aza, which you should? Where were you thinking from?
Oh, sorry.
Bigger the better.
What's that blue one that I always ask you the name of?
Oh, Cane Blanc.
Blanc?
Well, I really, really like Cane Blanc.
Keeping it esoteric, that would work for that.
I feel like it's a great wine. It's not that expensive, and it's approachable enough without... But it's got like a great...
Yeah. No, I like it. But it's Monastrell.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's what I was thinking. But I'm struggling with the food. Like, if you would do some kind of mini, like, olive something to break up courses, you know? Or if you would go straight into some kind of
Did you know there's a $50 Can Blau? No. Sellers Can Blau Mas de Can Blau.
There we go. Yeah, wouldn't that be kind of a nice little, like, before you go into, like, some kind of big entree, you just have, like, a little...
Spanish olives, mm-hmm. or excuse me, olives and Spanish almonds
mm-hmm.
with Can Blau.
Mm-hmm. What is it again?
We're going to have a little a step-down plate of olives.
Okay.
And almonds and Can Blau.
Before we go into our next.
What's your meal? I'm thinking pork shank.
Okay.
Pork shank.
With what?
We probably should add some vegetables into
this
dish.
I was thinking arugula. Gravy. That's where
I love it. So, pork shank. Cooked twice. In one of, we'd let Rob make like some kind of reduction sauce.
Okay.
A port reduction sauce. Cook the shank twice like Mexican style carnitas.
Okay.
And then shred it, served over like an arugula salad.
Arugula salad?
And just an arugula plate, arugula salad with maybe some, you know, people like to put cranberries in those, but arugula with dressed with lemon.
I love arugula with garlic expressions and just like a little bit of Parmesan shavings just or something in it. Just basic, but
on
just
the
nice.
Side. Yeah, a little greenery. But I wouldn't mess with the... If you're going to do a pork reduction, you want your gooey pork there.
Oh, and yeah, I would put it on the side. And then I would maybe also, since it's going to be gooey, I would maybe do some kind of potato just to like sop up the
polenta.
Juiciness.
Polenta or grits.
Mm-hmm. But I could see like a lightly... cheese, potato au gratin, gratin. Mm-hmm. That and the pork sits on that because that would be a good mm-hmm. reservoir, yes. like a brandy reduction or something like that, a port reduction, a
port reduction.
And then what wine would we serve with it?
Big. It's got to be big.
Would you like me to?
Go ahead, jump in there.
Something that would be a little bit ostentatious and be able to accept that fattiness. So
staying in Europe.
Staying in Europe, which I'm fine with that, by the way. There's a lot of different ways you could go. You could go over to Portugal and do a Duero, a really good quality Duero. There's that. But Bordeaux, no, because of the fattiness. But you know what's good? If you did a Northern Rhone Syrah, like a Gigonas.
Okay.
Nice Gigonas or a Crosses Hermitage in that $30 range. So we did or like a Vacaros. You can even do a Chateauneuf with that. But that's a little bit too funky. I would do like the Vacaros would be nice or the Gigonas, the Hermitage.
You could, it's like pick your country and just do a big red wine.
I would do Syrah though.
Do Syrah. I think. Even though it's not necessarily traditional, you could do a super Tuscan. You could do any of the big Spanish wines.
Well, you could do an Italian Cabernet.
You could do for me, those tend to be a little lighter, but...
No. Are you kidding me?
Well...
The right one?
The right one.
Remember what Frank, it's Frank Scali gave us?
Yeah.
That one?
No. Yeah.
But I would probably stay with something in Rhone. Rhone-based red Syrah, predominantly not Grenache. And I think you are going to have an enjoyable experience doing that. And I'm thinking about the fattiness.
Yeah.
Okay. So everything else, if it's too lean or too mineral-driven, that doesn't accept that too much. Down there, you're going to get some nice, silky, weighty, you know, juicy reds. That's what I'm looking for, and that's where that's at.
So. I just love that idea of twice-cooked pork.
Mm-hmm.
It's done in so many different cuisines around the world.
Mm-hmm. I think there should be two entrees, though.
No.
Oh, it's a gluttony.
This is not already gluttony. We're already like six courses, I think.
Is that five courses? Eight course meal.
Okay, so then what are we going to do for dessert?
Oh.
Robert, you complain that there's not going to be a beef course.
Yes, I am.
I think you'd be done after that pork shank.
Not me.
We can play this game on another night, and we can do it with beef.
What's for dessert?
You have lamb.
What's for dessert? I'm going to have veal then. In my fictional meal. Veal carpaccio.
You all can do that for the second episode.
No one ever does that. It's probably because it's disgusting. But a dessert. Yes, Scott. Dessert. Mm. This is a very expensive meal, by the way, I would think.
Yeah.
If it's my dessert, we're having to go out and buy it somewhere because I don't bake. I don't have that game.
You don't have to. It's all fictional, assuming that you could bake.
Oh, we're going to do this.
I'm going to make zebra cakes with...
How would you go, Rebecca?
I don't know. My mind first went to some kind of vanilla bean creme brulee, but I'm not really...
Funny. I was thinking creme brulee also.
You?
Yeah.
We had one time that had just a ton of berries all over
it. I love that.
Yeah. And then the mint again at the end.
You pair with that, though. Sauternes won't work.
Well, it works with everything dessert.
What about a nice
vine? No.
Too much sugar?
You're getting sweet with sweet, but I mean, those things, ice vine is more just fruit, melon. I mean, because of the creaminess, you know, you got to think about that.
Yeah.
Oof. And dessert wines almost are a dessert in of themselves.
Right.
Almost, you can't do that either. Oof.
It's
tough.
Easier to pair
one time
port
had...
with chocolate. It's easy to pair any dessert wine
tawny
with chocolate.
Port. You can do tawny port with creme brulee.
Yeah. One time I had these like chilled melon balls that were almost like slushy.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't quite. So I don't know how they were made. I'm trying to remember them. But it was, that would be a nice, I don't know what how else you could do them. But like what else you could add to it. But you could have some of that cantaloupe. Maybe it was like blended and frozen again. That way it was, you could break it apart with mint and then you could have it with some kind of dessert wine. It was might have been like some kind of melon sorbet situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you did
it. I feel like if you make it to dessert, you're going to need to be like rolled out of our.
Maybe it's a cheese plate. And then you could do a nice sauternes with that.
Something I love at the end of a meal is a nice coffee.
I was an espresso.
There'd be options. Mm-hmm. You'd have options. But if you're going to do the creme brulee, probably tawny port, maybe.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I love at the end of a meal to have a cup of coffee or espresso or whatever.
It's heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say, the star of the show, though, in my opinion, was the mushroom ravioli in this wine. So, I liked your pork thing too, but I'm rather thinking about that. The brown butter sauce. Because I've had that at Rigsby's before it closed down years ago.
Oh, Rigsby's.
Mm-hmm. Just a fresh ravioli, particularly that appetizer style where it's thinner, the broad-based ravioli. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Nice. And again, that's a component in almost every cuisine around the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be nice.
So, folks, there you go. I don't know what that was, but I'm sure it sounded tasty. So we're going
to
take...
either people listening are either like, oh, that sounds so good, or like, what? I'm like, if we're missing some kind of like obvious dish, they're like, ah, you forgot.
You forgot the chili Fritos. So, folks, we're...
Oh, P.S.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we get the boys these like snack bags of... chips for their lunches, and they substituted. Rob picked up the groceries. We always get like the Cheetos and Dorito box. The one that you got has chili cheese Fritos in it. I think they're gonna love them.
Henry likes them.
Yeah, they're gonna be so happy.
They're gonna be fighting over them.
So, folks, we're gonna take a break, then be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Herbert Messmer.
Off air, Rob was describing this as a respectable wine.
It is a respectable wine.
He started to make a talking point, and I'm going to lead you down a path. I'm going to ask you a question, sir. Do you think for a person who wants to try Pinot Noir that this might not be a bad jumping off place?
First of all, it tastes like Pinot Noir, so that's not a bad idea. There's a novelty element to it, too. So it's for a wine to buy, if you're having people over, just it's a talking point. Oh, German, well, people that know wine. A German Pinot Noir, my gosh, that's going to taste like shit. And I don't know why they would have a Southern accent, but maybe they did.
Not just a Southern accent, that was kind of a Combsy accent.
He's like, I make out with my cousin, but I know Pinot Noir.
I mean, so do I. I know Pinot Noir and I make out with my cousin. Yeah. Where do you think my son came from?
Anyway,
that's why he has a mouthy face.
Are we?
So,
Southern man is here. I often drink Pinot Noir, but I drink it out of a box from a spigot. And you know,
here's a question.
Yes.
Before we move on.
Do you have a question for the Southern man?
Should we have done melon and prosciutto with mint? Because ham, I feel like, is so American.
It's you should do prosciutto with ham.
We were staying.
Scott wanted to have a slab
Virginia
of ham.
I wanted it to be a sweet Virginia ham. I don't know why. That's just what
this is. We're doing European wine.
It's okay.
It's not okay.
It's perfectly fine.
I wanted to have
it's all written in a
corn.
I'm gonna think about this all week.
Yeah, you wanted to have corned beef or some shit like that, weirdo.
I didn't want the salt.
Ham's salty though.
Virginia ham, not so much. It's sweeter.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's some Virginia hams that are very salty.
Yeah. The grocery store was out of deli turkey this week, which Maggie and Luke both love, and I got them ham instead.
Oh, you
that and over. And we just got it today. I'm very interested in if they're like, what is this?
You should have got prosciutto. That's more Henry and Williams.
Well, you'll find out. Either the ham will all be gone, or Luke will have found a new toy to destroy the DVR box with the ham that he hates.
And folks, while we're saying this, we're eating prosciutto, so nevertheless. So,
We are.
But once again, though, I think if you have people over, they're snooty, whatever. A German Pinot Noir. Ha ha ha. Wait a minute. This actually tastes like Pinot Noir. Holy shit. This isn't so bad. This is a good wine for that.
It's beyond this isn't so bad.
No. It's pleasant.
Good.
Very pleasant. It's a good wine. Solid wine.
I'm.
Bravo. Bravo, German.
Surprised.
Yeah, I know. So the Triple B, do you have a numerical score for this wine?
I do have a score for this wine. I feel like it's going to come across as an insult, and I don't mean it that way.
If it's low, it's the only way to take it. But, you know, because I'd give it 94.
Okay. So I think for this wine, the oaking has lessened to me the more we have drank it. What is happening on this episode? Do you think Rob got too much sun today?
Oh, I did.
Or there's some sulfites going on in the wine.
He's like a deranged animal. You couldn't read your computer screen earlier at the beginning of the episode. I don't even know what words you were saying. Stop. I do think you got too much sun. You need to drink a Gatorade before you go to bed.
I drank a lot of water today. And I sniffed some Coke, so I'm fine.
Anyways.
Just two lines. Sorry.
The oak that I was really anti.
Oh my gosh, your arm is like as red as a damn lobster.
Yeah, I also got too much sun today.
Hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
Anyways, I'm giving this wine an 87.
Okay.
I think it's a perfectly fine score.
I don't mean it as an insult. I mean it as I think that this wine is fine, and I don't know that I would go as far as to say it's nice, but I would not be upset if we drank it again.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
No, your eyes are hurting you.
Well, an 87 is not an insult.
I know. I'm just saying, for us to be like, oh, this wine's interesting, or it's good, or it's a German Pinot, break it out again.
Still an 87.
87 is a good
score. And I'll go next, because I gave this wine an 87.
I also gave this wine an 87.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's an 87.
I was kind of
That's a good score, though.
I was kind of between 87 and 88, because it did grow on me.
Yeah, and
I was more 86, 87, but I think 86, 88 range is fine.
I agree with that.
Just like how the more it opened up, the more it showed us. I think there is a slight minerality about it. And, you know, for a base German Pinot, that's maybe we should give it 88. I don't know, but I'm fine with 87. That is where I was at.
I think 87's top of the mark, but that's a really strong 86 to 88, but it's a really nice wine. And, folks, 87, I think we've all, I mean, you know, you see the magazines and, you know, they say flat butts aren't the thing. But oh, I'm sorry. That was Sir
Mix-Up. Oh, my God.
But no.
Rob did it at one of our son's games this weekend. Rob said, oh, my God, look at Luke's butt.
Yeah.
Because he's covered in mud.
He was covered in
Becky,
butt.
Becky, look at Luke's butt. Oh, just so
my
muddy
God.
Out there.
Look at her butt.
That's a good time.
It's like huge. Oh, my God.
Round.
Are you going to be able to wrap this episode up?
I know.
But 80s, the okay, so.
That's a strong, but back to what I was
the
saying.
The sweet fruit's not what we care for in Pinot, but that's what the German Pinot is.
87 is a good score. This isn't a wine enthusiast 87. That means it tastes like feces.
I think that's a good point. Like, every wine that we like isn't going to be a 91.
Well, that,
I mean, they give out a 91
because it's the Olympic scale.
Everything.
Yes.
It doesn't mean it doesn't have merit and doesn't taste nice and doesn't do the things it should do, but there's only so many points that you can give something.
Yeah. This isn't a Hall of Fame wine. It doesn't reach that level, but it's fine, and I would drink it again.
And all of its faults, it's a nice thing to drink.
I don't know that it necessarily has faults. I just think, like, back to my original preview of what I thought it was going to be, like, my guesses, that was basically spot on.
Well, look, a German Pinot Noir was an A show by itself. I didn't put it against some sort of Italian Pinot Noir or some shit like that. It got its own show, and it earned it. It's a good wine.
I was not expecting anything. I thought it would be less than perfunctory. And as it opened, I was like, there's not much to this.
Yeah.
But then it just grew on me, and it opened up. And, you know, I'll be honest, I kind of like that sweet fruit on the front of it now.
I would buy, I intend to buy a bottle of this. Not three or four. One, here and there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, especially with we're on the deck and we have a couple people over, this would be a good second wine. Not a first wine, a good second wine.
We have different opinions on first and second wine.
So, sometimes I would think it depends what your second wine is going to be, if this could be the first wine. You know, if you're pre-gaming and you got steak dinner, this is the first wine.
That's true.
I feel like if I was arranging wine like that, I would do the first wine would be one of your better wines, and then progressively cheaper because people's taste buds are gone.
Well, this is the second wine. It's progressively cheaper.
And I think that's exactly what he was talking about, the second wine, where if you're doing a wine dinner,
I see what you mean.
You know, your Zinfandel, your Cab, whatever's going to be served with the steak.
This would be
the Dern served steaks on Friday.
Yeah, this would be a sneaky wine to have in a nicer wine dinner.
And if people didn't know what it was, they'd know it's Pinot, and they would.
Is this like from Willamette? No, I'm sorry. Is this from Willamette Valley? Because that's where I prefer my Pinots. You know, there's a man there. His name is Samuel Robert. He has a dirt bike track in the middle of his winery, and he likes to ride his dirt bike through his winery. You know why?
Because you can taste it in the terroir of the grapes.
No, because nobody's buying that shit anyway. They have it case stacked, Total Wine, and he sells it to China. You know what I don't like about China?
They buy all your good wine up?
No, they're Chinese. That's why I don't
like it. Hey, easy.
I'm a southern man. I'm not a sophisticated man. I could be from Alabama or Mississippi or Arkansas.
who the fuck is from Arkansas, actually? I can say that because nobody listens to this show in Arkansas. What the fuck is Arkansas?
South you live of in Kansas?
Yeah. But you're in Arkansas. You're like, shit. I'm not as southern as Alabama or Mississippi. But I'm like, I'm not on the ocean. I'm in the middle of fucking whatever it is. I'm in Arkansas. I got a Razorback as my school mascot, and my football team sucks. So I mean, I don't have a good. I mean, I'm in Arkansas for Christ's sake.
Let's put it this way:
Texarkana isn't even a state, and it's more interesting than Arkansas.
Texas looked at Arkansas and said, "Yeah, you guys do your own thing. We're okay."
It's the Wyoming of the South. It's just there, like shit, man. I'm not on the ocean.
You got the Ozarks.
Isn't that in Missouri?
Part of it in Arkansas?
I think it's in Missouri.
All of the Ozarks?
Yeah, I think so. They don't have that. And they don't even have Branson, Missouri. That's in Missouri.
Well, no, that's in Missouri.
If they had Branson.
Is Branson part of the Ozarks?
I think so. Yes. I do believe so.
Okay, but I'm going to go lay down.
Good for you. So, nevertheless.
You all going to finish this?
Yes.
The Ozark Mountain region is in Arkansas.
Well, Arkansas? Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for Arkansas. They've got some.
Is Branson part of the Ozarks?
It's a lot of looking up for the. See, I didn't know the Ozarks were in Arkansas because I don't give fuck all about Arkansas.
6 experiences found only in the Ozark Mountain range.
Getting fucked Branson. By a man with a hump on his back. That's one experience. That's not the best one.
Hey, did he have condom fingers?
Yeah, that's right. Finding woodland.
I'm leaving the episode, so everyone Branson out there, good night.
Finding wildlife in the mountains and fucking the wildlife. Stop, assuming you're not related to the wildlife.
Episode.
I got so many things to talk about now. Mm-hmm. I'm in the Ozarks right now. Raptor. Is that a squirrel?
This was a nice episode. Don't ruin it.
I'm going to hunt down that squirrel.
Squirrel?
Yeah, well, fuck that squirrel. Sorry. Anyway. That's just Arkansas life. What can I say? I don't know. Anyway, nobody listens to us in Arkansas. And if you do, nice knowing you. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, especially the Triple B, she wrote this whole episode. She wrote all our lines.
The jokes?
Yes, the jokes. Becky is the head joke writer. We're going to bid you adieu, but see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.